A week ago, Vancouver-based mining corporation Goldcorp announced $10 million of donations to Simon Fraser University's new art school in the Woodwards building. The school will now be officially known as the Goldcorp Center for the Arts. This comes at the same time as the university's campus community is organizing a November rally around high tuition fees and other student issues. I am joined in the studio today by Nicholas Perrin, and Nicholas is an organizer with the Teaching Support Staff Union at SFU. Hello, Nicholas.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So what is this company Goldcorp? What are they all about?
Well, Goldcorp is a mining corporation that... has a fairly bad reputation, a number of different legal battles going in Honduras, Guatemala, and Argentina right now, and calls from different human rights organizations to shut numerous mines down. So it's not a company that has, the values of sustainable ethics or kind of like community building, the best reputation.
And... How did this deal between SFU and Goldcorp come about?
Well, this is one of the interesting things is that none of us really know. And it's indicative of a larger problem at Simon Fraser that the administration doesn't have any accountability towards the faculty or the students. It was, almost literally, there's an opening ceremony for this new school and they rip a sheet off of a plaque and all of a sudden we find out that it's the Goldcorp Center for the Contemporary Arts. And so I have no idea how it came about.
So you had people showing up for their first day of classes at Woodwards and find out, oh, I'm not at SFU's Center for the Arts, I'm at Goldcorp's Center for the Arts.
Yeah. And the backlash from that was quite big. I think there are a number of students in the program that are pretty incensed, as well as faculty, actually.
What kind of responses come from them? Like, is it just kind of talk now, or?
Well, I know that the students themselves, or at least a lot of the grad students, are planning something for November the 9th that'll be a little bit more extensive in terms of laying out a critique. I think a number of films about Goldcorp as a company and their practices in Latin America, and some speakers and different people actually here at SFU in a number of different programs, I believe urban studies and somewhere else, that are actually already doing research on this company that sort of like lay out their actual business practices. So that'll be on November 9th, and there is something in the works right now. Hopefully next week we'll have some sort of action. So
cool. So the November 9th information event isn't the same protest that was already in the works for being organized.
No, but we're certainly connected together. Now they're sister events, if you will. Yeah? We actually, for that week, we have a whole series of events planned. On the 8th, we're going to have a panel on the history of activism at SFU. On the 9th, we're going to have this event downtown at the actual Woodwards, or the Goldcorp Center for Contemporary Arts. And then up here on the 10th, we'll have a rally and another panel that kind of lays out patterns of university privatization and kind of like increases in tuition fees and debt for students. So... pretty full week.
We'll all make sure we have our agendas filled, and we'll make sure to announce it in the lead up as well on our show.
Great, man.
But the protest being organized for November, you said it was the 10th, protest. That was supposed to be in October originally, right?
Yeah, so on October 7th, was a larger story, actually. There's been kind of buildup of the student movement in North America, I think, right now. A number of huge successes, like Puerto Rico has had some really exciting things happen. In the States, in California, there's been massive cuts to the UC system, and a lot of the momentum comes out of backlash from the students there. And there's been some creep over the border up here into Canada with a number of different universities in Toronto and both now here in Vancouver. And so they had a large day of action on March 4th of the last spring, and there was a second day planned for October 7th of this year. And Simon Fraser Student Society, the Graduate Student Society, and the TSSU have teamed up to do some organizing in solidarity with this movement. And so without checking the calendar, we sort of assumed that we would be able to do something on October 7th, but that, as it turns out, that's convocation. And so the main sort of public space here on campus is filled with chairs and parents, and not exactly the best time to have any sort of rally. So we kind of brainstormed and tried to figure out what else we could do. And as SFU is kind of like repositioning itself and rebranding itself as this downtown university, we thought, it would be actually good, and possibly we could pull on people from UBC and some other universities if we did this event at Woodward's on October 7th. But as it turns out, the space that SFU has at Woodward's is not really open for student public use. It's a privately owned building. SFU leases the space, and I guess we have to take this into account because of the nature of the organizations involved. But they wouldn't grant us permission to be able to use the space for any sort of rally around politicizing student issues.
Do you know what the Well, first off, that's crazy. Second off, do you know what the situation's like in some of the other satellite campuses of SFU?
The situation more specifically?
Or like if it's also privately owned?
Yeah, definitely. Surrey is that way. Harbor Center is that way. And I know that actually there are a couple of plans over by Vancouver Community College. We're going to be opening up a new campus in the next decade. There's a couple of different, and I mean, this is actually this movement into property and development and positioning the university as kind of more of an urban cultural center is a trend within university privatization itself. I mean, you'll look at large universities like NYU, and it is the majority property holder on Manhattan Island. And it's a strategy in terms of bringing in money once the public funding from a state or a province begins to be cut. And so this is the direction that the SFU business plan is moving in. And so this is going to be a problem as they open up new campuses for sure.
Yeah. Wow. So you've painted a great picture of this kind of more the process in which the university is going about getting corporate money or private money through development and corporate partnerships. What has the university administration been doing to get more public funding?
Well, I don't think very much, and it's a switch up right now in between presidents, so it's hard to hold a new person accountable for the behavior of the last person. But again, this is it's a position, you know, it's not actually a person. And the trend at SFU has not been one that I think we as students or even as faculty can understand and administration is being in solidarity with us around. The story around funding for post-secondary education actually starts on the federal level. And there's an amount of money that comes from the federal government that goes to the province that is supposed to go to post-secondary education, but that isn't earmarked in any type of a way so that it forces it to go to post-secondary education. So the university administration is being active on that level to get this money earmarked rather than some of it going to institutions and some of it just staying in the coffers of the province. But in the particular circumstance of BC, it's been years since the per student funding has been raised for post-secondary education. And in terms of grad students, I know we don't have a whole lot of time, so I can't get into all the details. Okay. Well,
yeah,
so
I'm fascinated. Okay. I'd be interested in the details. Yeah,
so let's just say, and use an analogy. This is actually something that that we got. The way that the funding has worked, this is information that I actually got from the senior administration. So say, just to make it simple, you have 1,000 grad students, yeah? And the province is funding a university to have 1,000 grad students. But obviously, as a university, we want to do more and more research, build up our community. We need more than 1,000 grad students. So we really have 2,000 grad students. So the province is only funding half of the university's or the institution's capability to actually support that many grad students. About a decade goes by and they say, okay, you know, maybe it's time for us to give you a little bit more funding. So, but what they don't do is they don't fund the 1,000 excess grad students. They say, you have to have 2,500 grad students, and we will fund the last 500. So they skip over this whole 1,000. So there's all sorts of shady ways in which the money actually comes from the province. But in the end, it hasn't increased in years, I think over a decade. And there have been a number of different ways in which universities have tried to kind of like come up with this money. As inflation increases, whatever, they try and expand, they're not able to do this without getting more funding. Our administration currently, rather than putting, and I mean, I guess we can't say rather, we're not in the room with them, but their current plan to come up with more money, instead of front-loading the fact that they're going to put pressure on the province to fund the institution more, there's currently a cap on how much tuition can raise in a year. It's 2%. Actually, inflation last year was -1, so it's like 3% more than even inflation right now. And administration's solution is to lobby the province to do away with this cap so that they can actually raise tuition to students by 6%, which is, it's in my mind, exactly the opposite strategy. You know, they should be in solidarity with us in keeping costs down and even decreasing, rather than trying to increase costs of institution. I mean, this increased cost of going to school, and this affects all sorts of things. Access, debt. Right now, the average Canadian student comes out of their undergrad education with $27,000 in debt or something. And as you see this going on, and you can look down towards the States, to where 10 years, 15 years ahead of behind where we are, depending on how you want to understand it, people are coming out with three times as much debt from their undergrad. And as we begin to increase tuition by 6% a year, the problem's only going to get worse.
So our administration has actually, or is actually, lobbying for some form of tuition deregulation or re-regulation to give it more from the students, not from the government.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the story with money coming from the province, I mean, you look at tax cuts from like upper income brackets and corporate tax cuts. We have like a $3.5 billion less coming in revenue to the province. The institution, the administration itself is in a tough position, you know, rather than actually drawing attention to these sort of like structural shifts on the level of the province that are setting up the fact that there isn't enough money to pass down, like a larger political effort at drawing to the actual reasons why the situation is what it is, they're just conceding the fact that this is normal and trying to offload the costs onto us as the students, and that's the problem.
At times, the university administration seems to me a little bit complex, and there's different. There's like the board of governors. There's the Senate. There's the president.
VP finance, VP academic.
Exactly.
There's a whole, and then this the landscape there is something that I'm often a little bit confused on as well as to what the responsibilities are. Yeah.
Do you get the sense that certain of these bodies have more say and maybe push this agenda a bit more than others? Like, where's the president in all this, for example?
I believe that the president's main role is in fundraising, is in lobbying the province and in getting private funding, donors such as Gold Corps. And so a lot of the decisions that are made around how money is spent is the VP finance, Pat Hibbert, I believe. I could be messing these names up. VP academic is John Driver. He has a lot of decisions in terms of how the university sort of is structured and, you know, allocates funds and everything like that. So these are the people that are kind of involved in the decision making around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should probably let you get going back to your,
I'm here
shop floor work soon.
As long as we need to stay. I'm trying to think if there's anything really important to get across. There is a planning meeting today at 3 o'clock in AQ 5135, and this isn't necessarily associated with any of the student groups here on campus. This is just something that we're trying to pull in the student groups to, and a number of different individuals and faculty. I know there will be professors at this meeting to begin to organize around creating these lines of accountability with the university, with the senior administration, taking advantage of this ridiculous situation with Gold Corps to kind of use it as a catalyst to, you know, it's just so indicative of what the problem is, and the way that this has been handled by the university, the lack of discussion. And not only that, but I think the lack of discussion with the public and the community that SFU is supposed to be serving. There's a lot of concern in the college right now, or in the university right now, about gentrification and the effect of the Woodward School and everything, or the contemporary arts being in Woodward's on the neighborhood of the downtown east side. And no one asked if the neighborhood wanted Gold Corps to be included in the community. And there's some liaison work that needs to be done from within SFU to the community as well, that sort of we have people organizing on both inside and outside of the institution. And that's what this meeting is around today, to kind of begin to forge some of those relationships, so the administration at least seems or feels like it has to be in communication with people as it's making these decisions. Yeah.
And so again, that's at AQ 5135?
Yeah, 5135, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And again, the dates and the details of the November protests and other events.
Running the whole first full week of November, we're going to be planning for this rally, or planning for this rally in the week. You're going to see an educational campaign around student debt costs, university and how it spends its money that begins next week. So the whole month long worth of press going out and kind of like a discussion around this on campus and in the news in Vancouver. And then starting on November 8th, we're going to have a panel around the history of activism at SFU, which is pretty deep, and a lot of the early sort of stories around the university and the culture here have to do with student activism. And then on the next day, we're going to have downtown a little bit more focused event on corporate funding and Goldcorn specifically at one of the theaters there in the Goldcorn Center for Contemporary Arts. And then on the 10th, we're going to have this big rally and another panel that kind of lays out the specifics, the structural specifics that we've gotten into a little bit about funding and how it comes from the province and to the university, and how it is that the administration is kind of like seeing itself positioned amongst that flow. And so the other cool thing that we're going to do, though, which I should just say, is we're going to create this massive debt wall. So for the entire week, that week, students coming onto campus are going to be invited to fill out these bricks. And you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes here. Each brick will represent a certain amount of debt that the students have. And on the day of the rally, we're going to assemble this in a wall and hang it from the rafters of Convo Mall, and it's just going to be stacked. So like a collective visual of all of the money that we owe. And I did my undergrad in the States, so I'm way worse off. So, you know, I'll fill up about half of it.
Yeah,
but
just you.
Yeah, and then these bricks are going to be used as postcards to then send to the province and the administration. So this isn't just one week. This really is taking a couple of issues and beginning an entire movement to kind of create this culture of accountability on campus and start to communicate with the province more around how this is affecting students' accessibility and even security as we come out of university with like huge holes in our budget. So
how would someone listening who wants to get involved with this campaign and with the student organizing in the lead up, how would they get involved? Who would they contact?
Well, we have an email account for the specific Goldcore project that is antigoldcore@gmail.com, antigoldcorp@gmail.com. And then if you're interested in getting involved in the November 10th, the week of the November 10th organizing, there's a number of different organizations involved. You could contact Kyle Asciarno at SFSS. You could contact me at TSSU, organizer at tssu.ca, and you could contact the president of the Graduate Student Society, Christina Bielek. She's also involved in kind of the initiatory meetings here. But I mean, this is a situation. We even have the Faculty Association at the table now, so there's a whole community coalition coming together around this. So pretty much any student or faculty organization on campus, hopefully there should be someone there who can tell you how to get involved.
And if listeners are part of a campus club or some kind of campus organization, should they contact one of these big three organizations and sign up to,
absolutely.
To be on the list?
Yeah, please. Or get a hold of me, organizer@tssu.ca, and we'll plug you in for sure.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nicholas.
No doubt, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
I have been speaking with Nicholas Perrin, who is an organizer with SFU's Teaching Support Staff Union. If you would like to get more involved with, or get involved at all with the new group forming called SFU Against Goldcorn Gentrification, you can do as Nicholas says, email them at antigoldcorp@gmail.com. And if you're interested in the November protests and actions and info awareness stuff, you can get more info from either the SFSS, the GSS, or the TSSU.